Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 49 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
If the city and the county can get on the same page there, we can go forward.
The city of Moorhead will pursue an interlocal agreement for a recreational facility.
Heavy rain and flooding has blocked several northeastern Kentucky roads.
Some of Kentucky's top officials are working to fight hunger.
Kentucky is one step closer to legalized sports betting.
Moorhead State's concert choir is hosting a chili cook-off.
In sports, the 61st District Tournament in Moorhead has been postponed.
But Luke has the stock report.
Rain and possibly a thunderstorm, low around 37. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead City Council says it will pursue an interlocal agreement with Moorhead State University and other governmental agencies to lease the Laughlin Health Building for community recreation purposes. The city's legislative body voted unanimously to pursue the project during a special meeting this morning. Rowan County Fiscal Court also voted to take part in the project, but Moorhead Councilmember Tom Carew says he wants the city's Tourism Commission to be involved as well.
The recreation opportunities for the city are good. I like that, and it provides. I just hope that this would be bigger than that. It would include tourism, and from that tourism, we would have revenue that would offset some of the costs of operating the facility. I think that's still there, and I don't want to give up on that. And so I'm not, I don't see why we can't work this out. We're very close.
Moorhead State officials say the lease will cost $200,000 per year. That cost would be split between the city of Moorhead and Rowan County if no other entities are part of the agreement. This week's votes now allow Rowan Judge Executive Harry Clark and Moorhead Mayor Laura White Brown to begin negotiating agreement terms with the university.
The city of Moorhead will soon be adding a new garbage truck to its aging fleet. City Council voted unanimously to make the purchase during a special meeting held this morning. City Clerk Chrissy Cunningham talks about the financing options.
They provided a quote for a lease purchase to buy it for a dollar at the end of the term. It's about 4%. And the monthly payment's just under $2,300. They provided a 5- and a 7-year term. It was about the same on both.
Councilmember David Perkins says the current garbage trucks are on their last legs and the city needs a new one in short order. The city council will hold a final vote on the purchase once the terms of the lease agreement have been finalized.
Flooding has occurred in Rowan County today, causing several road closings. According to the Rowan County Fiscal Court, a tile has washed out on the county end of Rock Fork Road. The road is temporarily closed until repairs can be made. Bratton Branch, located beside Walmart, is also closed to all traffic due to high water and flooding. Bull Fork Road is beginning to experience high water and localized flooding. Officials are reminding residents that if they encounter water across a roadway, to please avoid the area and turn around.
Individuals can expect another day or so of bad weather. The National Weather Service in Jackson has a flood watch in effect through tomorrow morning. Pete Jajarian is a forecaster with the Jackson office. He advises motorists in low-lying areas to keep an eye on the creeks and streams.
The rain could be heavy at times through Wednesday, and then by Wednesday night it should be tapering off, at least in the Moorhead area, by Wednesday night into Thursday morning.
The NWS in Jackson is predicting up to 2.5 inches of rainfall.
High water is impacting state highways in northeastern Kentucky. High water has been reported in the following areas. In Carter County, at Kentucky 1654 at the 854 intersection, Kentucky 1 on the Beech Grove area, Kentucky 174 at Lawton, and Kentucky 2 along Buffalo Creek. In Greenup County, Kentucky 784 near the Kentucky 2 intersection and Kentucky 244 at Raceland. In Lewis County, Kentucky 989, Kentucky 1021 at Quincy, and Kentucky 344 just west of Kinnickinnick. Residents are advised not to drive through floodwaters, as a few inches can float a vehicle.
Lexington has broken the daily rainfall record from 1897. As of noon today, the rainfall amount in Lexington was 1.63 inches, and there is still more to come. According to LEX18, the old rainfall record for February 20th, 1897 was 1.22 inches. That's a 121-year-old record broken in just 12 hours.
Funeral arrangements have been made for two Lexington brothers killed in a car crash. WKYT reports 15-year-old Neo and 17-year-old Rowan Sanders were involved in a fatal crash near Harrisburg Road around 3:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Services for the brothers are set for Friday at 4 p.m. at Central Christian Church, followed by a celebration of life from 5 to 7 p.m. Both are scheduled to be buried Saturday morning. Lexington police are still investigating the cause of the crash. Investigators believe the driver may have lost control of the vehicle. Family members are asking for people to send donations to Wine to Water in lieu of flowers. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
The Legislative Committee just approved a bill to expand the state golden system alert for impaired missing people. If passed, the bill would allow state police to inform the public about missing impaired people through the use of highway signs like Amber Alerts. This bill is important for people like Rick Warner. Warner's father, who suffered from dementia, went missing in 2016. He was found dead in his car. Warner says, since the technology exists, why not extend it to every missing person?
Why would we not utilize an existing system to quickly raise the awareness to thousands of people, both local and non-local, that are traveling and stopping along a probable route that a missing person could have taken?
Warner says the largest resource that law enforcement has is the public, and the current Golden Alert system is limited on the people it reaches. The bill now goes to the full House for consideration.
Some of Kentucky's top officials are working to fight hunger in the Commonwealth. The Attorney General, Secretary of State, Commissioner of Agriculture, Auditor, and Treasurer are encouraging people to check a box in their income tax forms to donate to the Farms to Food Banks program. Last year, Kentuckians donated $19,000, and this year's goal is $25,000. Tamara Sandberg is the executive director of the nonprofit Feeding Kentucky. She says the problem of hunger is hidden, but widespread.
So it could be the child sitting next to your child in class who hadn't had anything to eat since school lunch was served yesterday. It could be the person next to you in line at the grocery store who her husband just had a car accident and so they're needing help putting food on the table.
Governor Matt Bevin has proclaimed February as Hunger-Free Kentucky Month to help raise awareness of the problem.
The new Democratic leadership in Congress is investigating why the Department of the Interior stopped a major study on health impacts of mountaintop removal and other surface mines. The U.S. Interior Department directed the National Academy of Sciences to run a study after researchers found much higher rates of cancer, birth defects, and other health problems near surface mines. Interior stopped the study in 2017, but West Virginia University professional Michael McCauley says it's important to find out what's causing the serious health problems for people living near the strip mines.
That seems to be an epidemic of cancer cases, as well as a number of other diseases. And that's important to the people in the southern portion of West Virginia. It's important to the people of the state of West Virginia.
According to McCauley, the current theory is that surface mining releases microparticles into the air, causing inflammation in the tissues of people who breathe it.
A historic meeting of the Kentucky General Assembly took place on Tuesday. Lawmakers convened in the old state capitol building in Frankfort, which was the center of Kentucky government from 1830 to 1910. During their meeting, the legislatures received a surprise visitor.
Please admit our guest to the Senate chamber. President Lincoln, do you wish to address the body?
Very briefly.
Please proceed.
It was somewhat a surprise to me to receive an invitation from my native state, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, due to the fact that you didn't vote for me in 1860. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all is forgiven.
Now a national landmark, the old Capitol has had many famous Kentuckians walk the halls, including Henry Clay. It's also the place where Governor William Goebel was assassinated in 1900.
Kentucky is on the way to legalizing sports betting. A legislative committee strongly endorsed the bill this afternoon. The Commonwealth economics firm ran an analysis showing the state could generate as much as $48 million a year in taxes if Kentucky legalizes sports betting, while other states do not. If the proposal is approved, Occupations and Administrative Regulations Committee would spend some of the money to set up a program for people with gambling addiction, but most of the money would go to the state's public pension systems. Opponents say the bill would violate the Constitution. The bill now heads to full House for consideration.
Morehead State University's Upward Bound program is looking for applicants to work over the summer. The program is an academic program for high school students that helps them prepare for college. At MSU, it serves students in 16 counties. There are two subsets of the program this summer, Upward Bound Classic and Upward Bound Math and Science. The summer program lasts for 5 weeks. The program's associate director, Matt Hyden, says there are several positions to be filled and multiple people will be hired for each.
Morning core instructor, someone who has a specialty in math, science, and English. Typically, that is someone who is a certified teacher. And then we also are looking for people to teach elective classes. Only requirement for that is also having a bachelor's degree.
Residence hall, supervisor, and advisor positions are also available, and all those positions are paid positions. You can apply online at jobs.moreheadub.org.
Morehead State University's concert choir is hosting a chili cook-off dinner next week. Participants can bring a pot of chili to compete for the Best Chili $40 gift card. Dr. Greg Detweiler is the director of choral activities at MSU. He says dinners like these are essential to help fund education opportunities like tours for the choir.
In this case, choir is still paying off the tour that we went to Spain with. And we also have a local tour that we're going to do in April. So we're going to take the choir places. The university doesn't provide all the money, and we have to raise money. Without these dinners, we would not be able to do what we do.
The event will take place February 26th at First Baptist Church on East Main Street in Morehead. The dinner is scheduled for 6 p.m., and the concert is scheduled for 7:30. Tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for children, and free for children 6 and under. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight an 80% chance of rain and a low of 37. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 50. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rain and cloudy with a low of 36. Friday, a 40% chance of rain and cloudy with a high near 47. Friday night, an 80% chance of rain with a low of 43. Saturday, 100% chance of rain and a high near 62. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Lexington, it's 49. In Mount Sterling, it's 46. In Inez, it's 53. In Grayson, it's 46. In Ashland, it's 46. In Maysville, it's 47. In Flemingsburg, it's 46. And here in Morehead, it's 49 degrees.
On our feature segment today, members of a Rowan County community group recently gathered to help a school system in need. I happened to be there and filed this report. Residents in Martin County have been dealing with a water crisis for quite some time. What began in the early 2000s with a coal sludge spill has turned into decades of water issues, missing federal emergency funds, and a system which produces undrinkable water. Celebrities and community groups have held water drives for those who live in the area, but the school system is sometimes overlooked. The problem led a statewide teacher activist group called Kentucky Teachers in the Know to take action. Allison Sloan is the group's creator.
A lot of people that were members of Kentucky Teachers in the Know, saw this and reached out and said, hey, you know, there's students that need to be ready for school. There's, you know, teachers that need to be ready for school, and water is a basic necessity. It's really sad they don't have that. What can we do? Could we do a water drive from teachers to the local schools there? And I thought that sounded like a great idea. So that's kind of how it was born.
The group decided to collect cases of water, which were stored in Sloan's garage. Sloan says the donations were overwhelming, which is exactly what she expected from Kentucky educators.
I asked the question, and within hours I had 10 volunteers that resulted in 15 volunteers and just kept going in lots of different areas all over Kentucky, from Mercer to Louisville to Knox County and Ashland and back. So most of, you know, the eastern half of the state, and they were ready to help and do whatever it took.
But teachers weren't the only ones to donate. Sloan says community leaders and businesses have also chipped in.
This is a local man, Paul Kidd, and he has volunteered to use his time and his truck to take the water for us to Martin County.
The Rowan County Senior High School football team showed up early on Saturday morning to move around 2,000 cases of the donated water from the garage onto Kid's flatbed 18-wheeler.
Honestly, I expected it to be a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, I really did.
When he said 1,500 to 1,800, I was expecting a full garage or a storage building.
Rowan County football coach Kelly Ford said he thought it was a good team-building exercise.
Out and give back to the community, and I just thought it was a great opportunity to get our guys out. And we've been lifting weights all winter long, and it'll be a good opportunity for them to lift a lot of water.
Ford says volunteering translates to the field.
Get around each other, start doing things together, and it obviously goes to the football field. And that's what we've been preaching. And it's just another good sign that these guys jumped up. I know we're a few short-handed today. I think I originally had 15 or 20 on the list, but these guys showed up to give us the work.
Members of the Martin County Rescue Squad were waiting when the truck arrived to unload the water, which will be distributed to individual schools. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 4:48 and 49 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya Andweza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Nacogdoches Miller has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
District tournament action continues tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Macadocious Miller. Taking a look at district tournament action across the 16th region tonight. In the 62nd district, West Carter and Morgan County girls go head-to-head in Olive Hill at 6 p.m. East Carter and Elliott County face off in a nightcap game at 7:30. The teams that win tonight will face off in the championship game Friday night in Olive Hill. Raceland and Russell boys play tonight at Lewis County to see who will move on to the 63rd District Championship game. The winner will face off with host school at 7 p.m. Friday. The girls from Boyd County and Ashland Blazer are facing off tonight in the 64th District Tournament Championship. Boyd County advanced from a first-round win over Fairview. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. at Ashland Blazer. The Lady Vikings are headed to the 61st District Championship Friday night. Round took down Fleming in the first round Tuesday night in Moorhead. Head coach Matt Stokes says at first he was disappointed in his team's performance during the first half of that matchup.
You know, I always meet with our other coaches before we go into the locker room at halftime, and we go over the stats, go over what we need to work on, what we need to fix, what we need to change, all that kind of stuff. And I started looking at stats, I'm like, oh, we had a pretty good half. So I thought we got off to a slow start, but, you know, we really picked it up, especially in the second quarter.
Round will face off with Menifee in the championship game, which has been pushed back to Friday night at 7 p.m. The Vikings are gearing up for the 61st District Championship game with Bath County. The game is a repeat of last year's final, where the Vikings were able to grab a 47-42 win over the Lions. Coach Sean Thacker says the matchup will be a tough one.
I thought Saturday defensively was probably one of our best performances, especially man, that we've had today. I thought we did a pretty good job of guarding. We did a really good job on the backboard. That's something that we have been working on. I think that's something we got to continue to work on. You know, we just got to cut down on mistakes that we're making.
The game was scheduled for tonight in Moorhead, but has been moved to Thursday night at 7 p.m. After picking up the win in their first series of the season, the Moorhead State baseball team is now preparing for its first homestand. The Eagles went 2-1 in their series against Fermont over the weekend. Head coach Mike McGuire says he's proud of the team's offense, saying his guys are great at finding opportunities.
We preach about it. We spend a lot of time talking about it, and we have to be good situational hitters. Because you're going to have games like today. I felt like we had a lot of innings where we had one-hit innings, but we found a way to score runs because of our situational hitting. And you know, I think that's how you scratch out a win right there when you're not having that big inning where you get three or four hits in an inning.
The Eagles will host Oakland for a four-game series this week. Things get started Thursday at 3 o'clock. Moorhead State softball hits the road again this week. The Eagles head to Hampton, Virginia to take part in a four-game slate with doubleheaders on Sunday and Monday. MSU is winless on the young season and has yet to play at home, but first-year head coach Samantha Jones says her team has been resilient in the face of early season adversity.
You know, I think it's tough a little bit here and there, but they've done a great job of bouncing back, especially in practice and in weights and conditioning. And, you know, I was just talking to a few other people yesterday, and I was telling what's one great thing about this team is that they work hard and they have a really good work ethic, and that's what they're going to do. And when things aren't going, you know, their way, our way, Moorhead's way, you know, we're just going to get back at it and keep working. And so that's exactly what we've been doing.
MSU had originally been scheduled to square off against St. Bonaventure in Hampton on Friday, but rain has caused schedule changes in the event. The Eagles will find out the new schedule for their road trip on Thursday. Members of the Moorhead State University rifle team are preparing for tournament time. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
After a prolific season, Moorhead State senior Brandon Breyer and junior Alexa Potts of the Moorhead State rifle team have been selected to take part in the NCAA championships. Breyer will shoot small bore, while Potts will shoot in the air rifle competition set for March 8th and 9th at the WVU Coliseum at West Virginia University. Breyer will shoot on March 8th, while Potts' event takes place on the 9th. In addition, senior Ciara Crum has been selected as an alternate in air rifle. The trio are just the third, fourth, and fifth individuals from MSU to ever qualify for the organization's highest event. As a team, Moorhead State narrowly missed out on making the event as a unit, coming in 9th in the nation. The top 8 teams qualify. It is the Eagles' highest ever ranking following the regular season. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
And finally, in sports this afternoon, one of the most prestigious trophies in horse racing has been listed on eBay. K&N's Will Clark has the story.
Burn Benally, our heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come on.
The 1978 Triple Crown Trophy awarded to Affirmed trainer Laz Barrera is listed on the auction site with a starting bid of $500,000. Barrera died in 1991, and at some point after that, his family sold it to a collector. The collectors tried to sell it twice before, once through an auction house and once on the History Channel's Pawn Stars show. The seller on eBay, who has identified only as Just Do It 23, does not say how they got the trophy. The listing on eBay describing the trophy as a conversation piece that belongs in a museum. I'm Will Clark.
And that's a look at sports. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Basketball welcomes Murray State for an evening doubleheader on Thursday, February 28th. The women's game begins at 5:05 and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hayward Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed slightly higher in choppy trading as Wall Street tried to interpret a release from the Federal Reserve, which summarized its crucial meeting in January, where the central bank indicated it would be patient on future rate hikes. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 63.12. at 25,954.44, the S&P 500 was up 4.94 at 2784.70, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 2.3 at 7489.07. The Fed meeting minutes highlighted downside risks to the economy from its January meeting, including the possibilities of a sharper-than-expected slowdown in global economic growth, particularly in China and Europe, also a rapid waning of fiscal policy stimulus or a further tightening of financial market conditions. And somewhat of a mixed signal obviously had a muted reaction in the markets today. And of course, there is still continued focus on the trade situation with China. And, of course, this week, officials launched a new round of negotiations yesterday. A follow-up session of higher-level talks is actually expected later in the week as both sides look to resolve the long-running trade war before an early March deadline. CVS Health shares fell more than 8% after issuing a weaker-than-expected earnings forecast for this year. The company's guidance comes after closing a $70 billion deal to acquire health insurer Aetna in November. Southwest Airlines fell 5.65% after slashing its revenue guidance. The company said the recent U.S. government shutdown cost it $60 million in sales. Devon Energy rose 7% after reporting better-than-expected earnings and production for the fourth quarter. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 1.4% at $56.90 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,341.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.7%. And in Asia, stocks were strong as well with the Nikkei up 0.6% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Dow DuPont, while the worst performers were Walgreens and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Garmin and Devon Energy, while the worst performers were CVS and Concho Resources. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp, 29 cents at 51.60, AK Steel up 7 cents at 3.18, Marathon Petroleum up 8 cents at 65.09, Kroger down 79 cents at 28.76, Delta up or down 58 cents at 51.24, and Yum Brands was up 21 cents to finish at 94.73. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight an 80% chance of rain and a low of 37. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 50. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rain and cloudy with a low of 36. Friday, a 40% chance of rain and cloudy with a high near 47. Friday night, an 80% chance of rain with a low of 43. Saturday, 100% chance of rain and a high near 62.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Cody Robinson, Kenzie Thompson, Grant Johnson, Tandy Wallingford, Cassidy Searman, Keneally Roberts, Jacob Lindberg, Logan Pemberton, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Paul Miles, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Leanne Akers. That's me. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Anines. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya Andueza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.